public health type collection that we made over there. So now we have a little data. We know the mussels are hot over there, and it's risky to be eating mussels over there.
New research aims to protect subsistence seafood harvesters from paralytic shellfish poisoning. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. Last summer, a string of reports from the coastline of Oregon to western Alaska told of people with symptoms consistent with paralytic shellfish poisoning, or PSP. Tingly lips, numbness, nausea, and breathing problems. The persistent problem is, although commercial seafood is tested and safe, there's no simple way for personal harvesters to know if their seafood contains PSP.
So there's this lingering question, is there an issue in Haines with PSP? That's one question. And is there an association between the crab and the mussels if the mussels get toxic?
Bruce Wright is a senior scientist with the tribal organization Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association. He began studying PSP in Alaska in 1978 and has since been involved in studies on the subject around the state. Most recently, he joined with consultants Chilkat Environmental and Alaska Sea Grant, which is part of the University of Alaska Fairbanks and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They're using state funds put together after last year's PSP outbreak to address the non-commercial fisheries, which are not routinely tested.
We decided that we were going to design the study so we could provide information for the subsistence personal use harvester of crabs and clam and mussels, and also try to answer this question of linking mussel toxicity to crab toxicity, which is still kind of a question out there. You know, this correlation, how strong is it?
The group is using Southeast Alaska's Northern Lynn Canal and St. James Bay waters this summer to educate the public of PSP risk. They're also investigating any link between PSP-carrying bivalves, particularly blue mussels and cockles, and one of the sea creatures that feeds on them, the Dungeness crab. They have only their first set of data in so far, and it reads above Food and Drug Administration approved levels of PSP in blue mussels sampled in Haines-Letnikoff Cove.
That's a public health type collection that we made over there. So now we have a little data. We know the mussels are hot over there, and it's risky to be eating mussels over there.
Although people don't readily gather mussels in the Haines area, there's no official research to prove a PSP risk for subsistence harvesters until this study. Additionally, the group is looking into the relationship between toxic bivalves and Dungeness on the east side of Haines in Lutak Inlet, where they found more alarming results.
As it turns out, the mussels came in at, and remember, 80 micrograms is the cutoff. The mussels came in at over 5,000 micrograms per 100 grams, which makes them very toxic, and you know, and if somebody ate enough, they would probably just die. The Dungeness crab came in, and this is looking at the viscera, the guts, at 338 micrograms per 100 grams, high enough to make you sick. If you eat enough, you could get very sick from that.
For these results, the lab tested Dungeness crab viscera, or guts, not the meat, which does not show signs of PSP. However, toxicity levels can rise and fall with the changing tide or time of year. Bottom line, he says, mussels in the Northern Lynn Canal are not safe to eat, even if cooked or frozen, and remove the guts if you eat recreationally harvested crab.
However, all the commercial bivalves are routinely tested either prior to harvest or during harvest, prior to distribution into commerce.
Robert Presley, Seafood Program Manager for DEC's Division of Environmental Health, points out Wright's group isn't the only one sampling for PSP in the area.
This data is new to us as far as being hot, and what we've done twofold in response to the Seagrat data is pull samples from that area, as I mentioned, for follow-up sampling.
DEC, on the other hand, also tests crab viscera, which will test the meat if the guts are found to be hot or toxic. But they stick to monitoring commercially sold crab and bivalves.
My agency is the only agency that regulates the commercial crab fisheries.
At this point, they have no issue with commercially sold seafood, but are taking Wright's results seriously, informing crabbers of the data.
We most certainly monitor the data that other agencies and entities are coming up with. But to date, the commercial harvest, in other words, the recreational crab taken from a bay could be from a different area than your commercial harvest.
Wright holds that the test results from his samples, which are processed in the same lab as DEC's, could take a toll on the commercial crab fishery or Alaska's image as a seafood paradise. Crabbers such as Terry Pardee, who's been selling Dungeness crab direct to consumers in Haines since 1970, agrees that reports of PSP can have a noticeable effect on his sales.
The guys that are selling directly to processors in greater volumes than I produce, they're not really affected much by this because the product goes through the processors and they cook them and do whatever they do and then ship them out to markets outside of Alaska. But for smaller operators like myself, we go direct to the consumer, and sometimes the consumer will hear all this hype and this propaganda, and they worry about the safety of the product, and so they stay away from the product until things are demonstrated to be safe again.
This isn't the first time Pardee has worked through a PSP scare. He says his biggest worry when looking at these numbers is how it'll affect the crab market. He sells approximately 8,000 to 10,000 crab off the dock in a typical summer season.
In no case, and certainly myself included, do I know any small operator that's harvesting crab for sale direct to the consumer. If those crab aren't safe, we wouldn't want to pass them on either, you know. So if they can demonstrate that there's a problem with the crab, then we're on board.
Presley with DEC says they'll continue to monitor the group's results as well as algae blooms, which are thought to cause high PSP concentrations. Until then, the state says commercially bought seafood is still certified safe to eat, but researchers advise recreational and traditional subsistence harvesters to avoid bivalves from contaminated areas.
Commercial seafood and shellfish and crustaceans, crab, in the state of Alaska are considered safe. Are routinely tested. We have and continue to advise citizens from consuming shellfish from untested sources and from consuming personal harvest crab viscera that's unviscerated.
You're a pro at online banking, just went paperless, met the love of your life through online dating, and write more emails than letters these days. So why not go to the library online? The Haynesboro Public Library is now issuing new library cards, which will give the library's 2,800 patrons more remote access to its services, says Library Director Patricia Brown.
It also allows people to access their account from home and renew books from home. And put things on hold from home. So it's all a process of actually allowing people to have more control themselves over their library account.
Also online are programs for learning new languages, downloading audiobooks, searching the catalog, blogging, and designing a reading list. It's all part of the new open source software installed 2 years ago to help the library manage its collection and activity.
These things that we're starting to put into place are things that the system actually is capable of, and we're just making the changes as we're learning them ourselves.
The library installed the new system about the same time they got their totem pole and Tlingit name, which is also on the new cards, printed in the foreground of a sunny summer photo of the library's big reading room window. The international group that installed the system noted that the Haynes Library stood out for them. The facility at times averages 60 patrons an hour in the building, not to mention online.
Our circulation is over 101,000. And so the circulation per capita is actually 40.5. And, you know, a lot of times that doesn't mean anything to people, but the folks that we work with for support for our Evergreen system, they said they haven't ever worked with the library with a ratio like that.
The library's online services are reachable through any internet station in the world. Just go to haineslibrary.org. After, you get your new card at the library on 3rd Avenue.
If they're already a library card holder, we'll just immediately convert it for them. Anybody who is looking to have, they're new to the area, what we would need is a picture ID and something that lets us know that they've actually moved to Haines, you know, even just a piece of mail that has their new address on it. And then we're able to set up a library card account for them.
A session and Q&A about how to use the library's online services is Wednesday, July 13th, 4 p.m. at the Hainesboro Public Library. Again, Library Director Patricia Brown.
It will be an instructional time. For anybody that has questions about how to access their account or to search the card catalog and put things on hold, set up their account even, that's what we'll be trying to do on Wednesday.
But if you can't make the meeting and still have questions, customer service is just one local call away.
Mostly, if people have questions, then please feel free to call, because a lot of times when they might try to log on first from home, if they're having problems, rather than getting frustrated, just give us a call and we can help them get things set up and working, because more and more what we want people to see is that it's actually helpful to them and not a hindrance. The more they use it and get comfortable with it, the better.
I'm Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS. For more details on what you heard in today's newscast, go to our website at khns.org.